Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording, those here in the room. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week. Praise Him for being in control of all things and for being one day closer to His soon return. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And our opening song is titled, How Far From Home. It's an old Adventist hymn, very catchy tune. You know what? Please join in. How far from home, I asked as on I bent my steps, the watchman spake, the long dark night is almost gone, the morning soon will break. Then weep no more, but speed thy flight, with hope's bright star, thy guiding ray, till thou shalt reach the realms of light in everlasting day.
I asked the warrior on the field, this was his soul-inspiring song, with courage bold the sword I'll wield, the battle is not long. Then weep no more, but we'll endure the conflict till thy work is done. For this we know the prize is sure when victory is won.
I asked again, our sea and sun seemed with one voice to make reply. Time's wasting sands are nearly run, eternity is nigh. Then weep no more, with warning tones, portentous sights are thickening round, the whole creation waiting groans to hear the trumpet sound.
Let's see if I can do, wait a minute, 665, wrong one. Not far from home, oh blessed thought, the traveler's lonely heart to cheer. Which oft a healing balm has brought, and dried the mourner's tear. Then weep no more, since we shall meet where weary footsteps never roam. Our trials past, our joys complete, safe in our Father's home.
Oh, blessed thought, huh? Bringing in another hymn. But yeah, we're a day closer, dear ones. Don't give up the warfare. Continue pushing on. Continue enduring and holding fast. Because heaven is sooner now than when we first believed. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And who would like to offer our opening prayer for tonight's service? Please go right ahead.
Kind Father in heaven, thank you so much for another precious day, precious Sabbath day. Thank you for the whole week that has been, the blessing of having faculties, eyesight, the physical faculties, hearing, senses, and with that, as Christians, the spiritual senses exercised by the blessed Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for showing your providence in our life, in the past, in the present, and for the future. Looking forward to Prophets and Kings doing just that as well. And, excuse me, the events of each and every one of our lives. We matter so much to you. I pray this would affect us greatly towards other people that know not God, without hope and without God in the world, and don't know Jesus. Get to know him as a personal friend, not as a religion, but as a friend and a way of life indeed. And may those dear people, Brother Dick mentioned the traveling that they will be doing, have the mercies that they need to make their journey home safely. I think it's very impressive when some of us, all of us perhaps, all might have long projects and short projects. Some might be years long. Others might be months long. But if you're the one behind it calling it, you will finish it and it will be done well and it will be done thorough. And what you bless, it's blessed forever, literally. That's a very encouraging thought. Thank you that we have that privilege of claiming that today, not some future time. We need all that we can get today. We only live in the now, in the present. Thank you for making it possible for me to meet again like this and the transition and the daylight saving removal. And, you know, there's a bright future for us despite what's taking place around the world, and with the blessed torchlight of prophecy showing us how things will play out and how we have the privilege with the signs of the times of it affecting our zeal for the cause of God and to stand up for the truth because it's true in the love of the truth as it is in Jesus. Help us realize this power for you to keep us from falling in light of apostasy that's going on and on a variety of levels, that we will not be under their power nor allow despondency to run our life or murmuring or complaining. Help us be honest with ourselves and with one another. Truth always wins out, but it's a curse for those who are not exercised thereby in the end, in the final day of judgment. Bless our dear speaker and everyone that's coming in and who are in, and especially to Sister Lynn's microphone to be able to work. Thank you for intervening in our lives in specific ways where things seem to really go downhill. And then amazingly go right uphill as well. May our lives not be defined by the challenges of our life, but the victories that Christ makes possible through the challenges. We also uphold Darren, Lucy's son, and who is sick right now, not sure what of, but it seems to be coming very serious that he will get the very best help that he needs at this particular time, and he will not be afraid to take the advice that might be given him, and that a thorough diagnosis will be found, whatever it is that he's suffering from, and also rally Lucy's dear daughter that as she's with family members today and tomorrow, that she may know not only do a lot of people have care for her where she is and her family and her concerns and the prayers of Christians who are praying for her, but God has an infinite care for her and a love for her that she has the privilege of acknowledging and is shown through human beings, but ultimately through the plan of redemption, which is centered in Jesus, not in ourselves, not in others, not in organizations. And it's the blessing to know Christ and him crucified that really counts and matters in this transient life that we live right now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to abide with us, promise to us, to lead into all truth. We look forward to the journey this day, your way on Sabbath. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And we are continuing in Prophets and Kings. This is chapter 26, titled Behold Your God. And we got down to about two-thirds of the way on page 318 last time, paragraph that starts out, The Heart of Infinite Love. And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended was that the children of Israel, even though they began loyal to God, over the centuries decided that they were no longer going to be loyal to God. But not every Israelite was of that particular persuasion. So God, through his prophets and through events, continued to manifest to the Israelites that he was the living God, the everlasting God. He was the creator of everything on the earth and in the starry heavens. And that if they could take anything from nature and mold it into some image, or if they could look at the starry host and try to turn that into some form of an object to worship, that it could not be a God at all, because they were just taking something that was already created and turning it into a representation of God. And so it was not a living God. It was not an everlasting God. It only could exist from the time of its creation, and thus could not have been a creator, could not have existed from everlasting. But you know, you could present all the words of truth possible to someone, but if they're not willing to accept the truth and to follow it, it was just a waste of time. So that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, about two-thirds of the way down on page 318. The heart of infinite love yearns after those who feel powerless to free themselves from the snares of Satan. And he graciously offers to strengthen them to live for him. Fear thou not, he bids them, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a good scripture song. I am the Lord thy God, or I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So here we have an image of a God who loves us and also a God who is very compassionate for those who feel themselves powerless to overcome in their own strength and look to him for help. And that's humility, when you actually are willing to swallow your pride and go to God for help. He honors that humility. Yeah, amen. A God who knows that we are worms. And what's amazing to me is that Jesus was willing to become a worm in order to save the rest of the worms. Quite amazing. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear one? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
The inhabitants of Judah were all undeserving, yet God would not give them up. By them his name was to be exalted among the heathen, many who were wholly unacquainted with his attributes were yet to behold the glory of the divine character. It was for the purpose of making plain his merciful designs that he kept sending his servants, the prophets, with the message, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way, Jeremiah 25:5. For my name's sake, he declared through Isaiah, I will defer mine anger, and for my praise I will refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Isaiah 48:9-11.
Amen. Any comments or thoughts or insights on this paragraph?
God's mercy is unending. That he's put up with it this long. I don't know. I don't know if somebody else said it or I just thought it. But if he doesn't do something pretty soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's so wicked out here in this world. The thoughts of their hearts are only evil continually. I can't imagine that it was worse before the flood, except that people got to live longer and be wicked longer. Mm.
Yeah, that's not a very great prospect to be able to live longer so that you commit more evil and have to suffer for it. That's not something that is very promising. You'd think individuals would wake up and instead of wanting to live longer in sin, would recognize that it's a very merciful God who may allow your life to end sooner rather than later. So we read here that God, for his name's sake, for his praise, and for his own sake, would not destroy all of Israel, but he would continue being long-suffering towards them. So then the question comes up, what does this mean? Why would God have to put up with rebellious children so that his name would not be polluted, so that his praise would not be brought down, and so that his own reputation would not be so tarnished. His name would not be polluted. He would not give his glory unto another. What does all this have to do with God putting up with sin? Amen. The plan of redemption. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. Because here we have a people that were really no one to begin with, and God, through his blessing and his protection and watchful care, allowed to grow into a huge nation. 2 to 6 million people left Egypt. So, and they started out with just Jacob, right? So here, God's reputation, his name, his praise, his glory is all connected with this one chosen people. And we have kind of a clue when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were just very rebellious, the golden calf apostasy had occurred. And God said, I'm going to destroy them all and start over again with you, Moses, and your lineage. I'll make your children greater than the children of Jacob. And Moses pleaded with God not to do that. And so God said, okay. And you remember what Moses said as a reason why God shouldn't do it? He goes, because the heathen, the Egyptians, would say that God was not able, the God of Israel, was not able to deliver all this people from Egypt into the wilderness and bring them to the promised land. He was not powerful enough to do that, so he had to kill him in the wilderness and start over. Yeah, amen. It would reflect badly on the character of God. So it wasn't that God was cornered to have to put up with sin in his people. But he would not allow his name, his praise, his glory to be looked down upon by the heathen. So he extended mercy upon mercy. He was long-suffering beyond going that extra mile, right? So that the heathen could recognize that God doesn't put up with sin. If it's in his people, he's going to deal with sin in his people. If it's with sin in other people that are not his, God will deal with sin in other people that aren't connected with him. And if God would just destroy the children of Israel because of their sins, there would always be a question in the mind of the heathen that their God was actually more powerful than the God of Israel, because the God of Israel couldn't handle his own people. So he just got rid of them real quick. So there would be that distrustfulness of God, and thus his name would become polluted. People would not want to praise his name. His glory, right, would be given to another. So God wisely put up with sin in his people. They were punished, right? But they weren't immediately punished. They were punished, but sometimes it took decades to bring about that punishment. For instance, the kingdom of Assyria had to get to a certain strength in order to come through to get Israel. The kingdom of Babylon had to be built up to such a point that now it was time for them to come in and conquer Israel and then Jerusalem. That was the judgment of God using the heathen to accomplish that punishment. So it wasn't that the children of Israel were getting away with their sinning, because all sin has a just punishment that will be meted out to it at the proper time. And it was only because of the mercy and the long suffering of God that Israel was allowed to exist as long as it had. Yeah, amen. Good point. Comment says, so the plan of redemption is revealed to the heathen by God's own treatment of his own professed people. Amen. So here we see that for God's name's sake, for his praise, for his own sake, so that his name would not be polluted and his glory would not be given to another, God calls his people to repent. And he also lets them know that if they don't repent, then they will be justly punished. So sin has a punishment coming, and the only way to avoid that is through repentance. Any other thoughts or comments, Jerwin? Who would like to read this next paragraph?
You want to be on, Ken?
The call to repentance was sounded with unmistakable clearness, and all were invited to return. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, the prophet pleaded. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So the call for repentance was given with unmistakable clearness to all. Isn't that the same that's supposed to happen today? The gospel is to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and then shall the end come. So just like back in Israel's time, just like back in Christ's time, just like back in the Roman Catholic Church's time and the Protestant Church's time, the Adventist Church's time, and now in the remnant's time. The call to repentance is to be given with unmistakable clarity to every individual in this world. And then shall the end come. Yeah, amen. While he is near, that's right. Which means there's coming a time when he is no longer going to be near. And that's when probation closes. They'll seek for the word of the Lord, and there will be no word from the Lord. Any comments or thoughts? Who would like to read this next paragraph?
Have you, reader, chosen your own way? Have you wandered far from God? Have you sought to feast upon the fruits of transgression, only to find them turn to ashes upon your lips? And now, your life plans thwarted, and your hopes dead, do you sit alone and desolate? That voice which has long been speaking to your heart, but to which you would not listen, comes to you distinct and clear. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Micah chapter 2 verse 10. Return to your father's house. He invites you, saying, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, Isaiah 55, verse 3. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So here, the very same message that was given anciently is the same message that's to be given today. Anything that keeps us from the Savior, were to depart from, because it is polluted. Anything that keeps you from the Savior is not righteous. It has to be unrighteous, polluted. And if we cling to it, we'll be destroyed with it. So we have Micah saying that. We have Jeremiah saying that. We have Isaiah saying that. You could look in other prophets as well, Ezekiel, Hosea. You have all of them saying basically the same thing, that we're to put away our sins, we're to repent from them, we're to come back to God, and God will receive us. And how assuring to know that if we come to God, then he will hear. He will save us. He will also make an everlasting covenant with us and give us the sure mercies of David. What was the mercy that it was extended to David? Yeah, amen. A lasting kingdom. One of his sons would sit upon his throne forever. And of course, that was fulfilled in Christ Jesus, right? From the lineage of David. But also, David had committed a great sin. Innocent individuals died because of his sin, but he sincerely repented for those sins, and God forgave him and extended mercy to him. So it's not just the sure mercies of David that you'll have an everlasting kingdom or royalty, but your sins will be forgiven, your guilt will be removed, and you'll be able to live. Now, a covenant is made between two individuals. It's not one person making a covenant and the other one not agreeing to it, right? Or not holding up their end of the covenant. So when we come to God and we repent of our sins, we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're adopted into his royal family by an everlasting covenant, a partnership. Christ will be our God. We are to be his people. It goes both ways. You can't hold on to someone's hand who withdraws their hand. That would be force, right? Someone who's holding your hand agrees to do so. It's a partnership. It's a covenant. That's what God desires to be with you and me. He holds his hand out to us, and we're to hold out our hand and grasp his hand, and we're to keep that bond growing to be everlasting. I mean, we're not worthy of that. We're worthy of death. But here, that's what God is doing for his name's sake, for his glory's sake, for his praise. And may we indeed give him praise, glory, and honor, for he is worthy. Any other comments or thoughts, dear ones? So this is what God is holding out to each one of us. And of course, the devil's not happy about that. He wants us to be destroyed. He led us into sin, we committed sin, and now he wants us to die because of the sin. But Christ died that we might receive life. He paid the penalty for us that we might have his righteousness and joy. The devil doesn't like that. So how does the devil try to thwart this great, loving, merciful plan of redemption? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Do not listen to the enemy's suggestion to stay away from Christ until you have made yourself better, until you are good enough to come to God. If you wait until then, you will never come. When Satan points to your filthy garments, repeat the promise of the Saviour. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Tell the enemy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your own. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 51:7.
Yeah. Thank you, dear sister. So Christ says, I've redeemed you, so don't be afraid to come to me. I'm waiting for you to come. So the devil comes in there and says, you're not worthy to come into the presence of Christ. You have to wait until you become more righteous or until you've put away your sins. And then when you're good enough, you can come to God. But of course, we can't overcome in our own strength. So we're never going to be good enough to come to God. So the devil's going to point to our sins. You are a great sinner, which means you cannot hope to come into the presence of Christ, who is righteous and innocent. You have to wait until you're good enough. So Christ here has promised that if you come to me, regardless of how sinful you might be, I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to close the door in your face. I'm going to receive you. And the devil says, not yet. Maybe, you know, maybe next week or maybe next year. Or I even had individuals say, maybe when you turn 40. And so then the devil wins. The longer he can keep you away from coming to Christ, the more chance there is to cause your eternal destruction. You may die before you come to Christ. Well, then your probation's closed without him. So now's the time where we're to go to Christ. Today is the day of our salvation, because tomorrow may be too late. So don't let the devil keep you from coming to Christ just as you are. He's the only one that will be able to cleanse you, to purge you, to make you clean, to take away your filthiness and give you his righteousness. He's the only one. And what a Savior he is. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
The exhortations of the prophet to Judah to behold the living God and to accept his gracious offers were not in vain. There was some who gave earnest heed and who turned from their idols to the worship of Jehovah. They learned to see in their Maker love and mercy and tender compassion. And in the dark days that were to come in the history of Judah, when only a remnant were to be left in the land, the prophet's words were to continue bearing fruit and decide reformation. At that day, declared Isaiah, shall a man look to his Maker and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. Isaiah 17:7-8.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any comments or insights on this paragraph? Praise God, dear ones, that there were some who gave earnest heed and repented. Didn't say there were many, but there were some. And in these last days, the message is going to go worldwide. And again, there will be some. Praise God for the some. Many are called, but few give heed and are chosen. But praise God for the few. Yeah, amen, the remnant. Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Many were to behold the one altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, was the gracious promise made them. Isaiah 33:17. Their sins were to be forgiven, and they were to make their boast in God alone. In that glad day of redemption from idolatry, they would exclaim, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Verses 21 and 22.
Amen. That's another scripture song. So when the Sunday law is urged upon us, we can claim this very promise and say no to the laws of men, no to the commands of kings, no to the judges, no to the president, no to any leaders, because the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. But it takes determination to stand for God regardless of the pressures put upon us by the world, by its great men, by its lawgivers. And praise God for sending the Spirit to empower us, to give us that extra grace to stand for God regardless of the consequences. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Though the heavens fall. So God is our judge. We don't have to worry about what others may say of us. God is our lawgiver. It doesn't matter what other laws may have been written and enforced. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. That's why we're ambassadors. We're working for him. We're his emissaries to all the nations. And we don't have to worry about what mankind may do to us, because God will save us. And who would like to read the very last paragraph of this chapter?
It's getting a bit quiet. Shall I try? The message is borne by Isaiah to those who chose to turn from their evil ways were full of comfort and encouragement. Hear the word of the Lord through his prophet. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 44, verses 21 and 22. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah chapter 12.
Amen. So you can see that this applies to this very day. Here we have the loud cry. Cry out and shout. In other words, give the loud cry, the last message of mercy, the third and the fourth angel's message to all the earth. Because great is the Lord God in your midst. So we have our commands. We have our plans given to us by God. Go forth and give the last message of mercy to all the earth. Be not afraid, because the Lord Jehovah is your strength, your song or experience, your salvation. And he's in your midst. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. Any comments or thoughts, ideas, insights, questions, please feel free. Well, this is the end of chapter 26, and next time we'll pick it up in chapter 27. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share, testimonies that you'd like to give, anything else that you'd like to bring forth, please feel free, dear ones.
God bless you, sisters. Thanks for joining us. Oh, she's already gone. She's... Okay. Looking at the wrong side of the screen. I just want to share with you all. Last week, I said something, and it made me think about it as I continued working this week. And that was, I mentioned something like, it will take a number of lifetimes to do all the subjects you might want to cover in a book if you're trying to cover every different topic going right through Genesis to Revelation on each topic. And thankfully, we don't have to do that, and we don't have many lifetimes. But I'm working on the concordance. I'm going from A to Z. And it's dealing with the state of the dead, the verbs, nouns, adverbs, adjectives. And while I'm doing that, I'm looking at other words as well. It's very interesting. You know, you come across some states, you go, wow, is that in the Bible? And you've read it before, but you just, I just got to look at that just to see. And then you get a few distractions. They're good distractions, but, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm only up to the letter B, but, and it's just note-taking the verses, which are of import, and making notes for other word searches yet to be done. But I thank God that it's possible you don't need many lifetimes. It's a huge help. I think I'm appreciating the concordances much more than I have in the past with this idea. Of course, you might miss things. There are certain words you might not realize they're import. I've already done that, like branch and branch of branch, you know, the branch, our Lord. And but I made notes, but that's why I'm going to have reviewers, I pray, we'll find anything missing. But I'm really excited about the book preparation because I don't exactly know what I'm going to cover, but I know one thing, it's got to be thorough. And I think this is one way to do it, although it's going to take time. So I'm very grateful. Thank you for keeping it in prayer. I'm so blessed.
And we will do so, dear brother, and please continue to keep us updated.
Here's a scripture song I've been learning this week. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
Well, God bless, dear sister, and we'll be holding you up in prayer and prayers for those around you that the water may subside quickly and get back to normal. Keep looking up, dear sister. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we have closing prayer? Please feel free. Other ones, please join with me. Go ahead, brother.
Sorry. I didn't realize you were going to talk. I was just going to say, it's more of a question to you all. How are you after the events of America and what has taken place? Are you all sound? Are you all, do you feel 8 years younger, like it's 2016 again?
I'm a little apprehensive about what is going to happen. I do know with a Democratic president, the idea of a Sunday law is not really part of their agenda. With a Republican president, that's kind of a different story because they're much more religious oriented. And so we shall see what this next year has. I know we had stories of ballot boxes being burned. We had other stories from the last time with Trump and Biden about there being armed individuals only letting Democrats go to the ballots, and any Republicans that declared themselves such were kind of intimidated away. But I didn't hear reports of that taking place this time. So it's kind of a different situation. I know with in 2020 you had four key states that had Trump in the lead. And then all of a sudden, all four states refused to give any further updates on who voted for who and their ballots being counted until the next day. And then all of a sudden, in all those four states where Trump was leading, all of a sudden Biden takes the lead the next day. We didn't have that same repeat this time. All the states, including those that were key states, continued to report their incoming votes as they were counted, and they relayed the results, which was different. So there was quite a difference from 4 years ago to this particular election. So that's why I'm a little apprehensive, you know what? I know all that anger is still there, and it's the closer we get to January, the more opportunity is going to be given for that anger to be manifested. But God's in control. He wanted Trump to win the presidency, and there's good reason for it. We shall see how things go.
Yeah, that's so comforting. Even if the leader doesn't acknowledge that or just mucks around with the idea. I was saying to Lucy, I said, she's the first one to tell me the news. And I was looking at the sign and it's like almost all red. And I said, it almost looks like Trump won everything. But what they did on the map, Camilla had a lot of eastern states, and it's so small on the map, but they got to put in like, this is that state. I thought, wow, that's really curious. But, oh, that's interesting about that last election. I understand from this time around, Trump has more power in the Senate than he did in 2016, which would mean a lot easier to get things passed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, like you just said, I mean, never to lose sight of the fact, no matter, it says in the Bible, don't be afraid of what a man's face and what they might say to you. He said that to Jeremiah, a prophet. And the same is said to us in light of what is going to happen. And how it's going to lead up to that. I understand they have a 2025 agenda already prepared for them to win the election. So they've got it. Wow. Do we feel younger? Do we feel like it's 2016? It's a bit of a repeat. You know, did you say yes? Sorry, bro.
No, I actually don't feel younger. been fighting lethargy for quite a while, but it's in a way I'm relieved, and in another way I'm anxious. So praise God, He's in control. We don't have to worry about the future. We can leave it all in His hands, knowing that whatever He allows is the best. Any other thoughts, dear ones, before we have closing prayer?
Hey, Matt. Thank you for sharing that, sister, the comment in the room. That is so amazing. Your circumstances in America. We've got water all around us. And you have too, but you've got a big border south of you. That's unique. Amazing.
Hubba Subbus. James and Ruth, Bob, Sabbath blessings. I know you are just entering for us. We are already in Sabbath hours. Just sending greetings from brethren. Last weekend, we had a simple meeting, which we termed as a river meeting. And I thank God it was successful. Well, there are a number of issues that we are handling, raining, doctrinal issues, and then up to the issue of, we'll have to have a conference very soon. We had suggested in the first weeks of December, and we are now wanting to have to put to share responsibilities, who is going to do what and what. So, wanted to start it with a revival meeting and sort of a reformation, which I believe was successful. And we conducted for 3 days, Saturday, no, Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we had to pray. But the outcome shows we have to go back and continue, because we added on another day, it was Monday, to do home visit, and we are trying to follow up those a few, actually there are many, but we try to follow up a few brethren according to the time schedule, who were not attending church, and they were the first time of help in the work. So we visited at least four of them, and they promised that they would come. They had only a very simple issue that was disturbing them, but they are going to come back, and they say, no, if that's the issue, we shall come back and iron it out. And this was an issue, which I can say was doctrinal, the issue of women not speaking in the church and covering their heads was a challenge. And the brother who had brought in that thinking, we had put him under simple church discipline that he should not continue speaking also in the church until he reforms. By then, it affected a few brethren And now we had to make a serious follow-up on them and hear from them. We managed to reach them and they agreed, no, it was the approach of handling the matter that was at stake. So we agreed that before our conference takes place, we should make a follow-up and come up with a decisive decision and call these people back and continue. So we had a blessed week, and we also discussed about our conference. Our only challenge is if it is an international conference, a number of issues I need logistics. And these logistics mean funding it and handling people outside our locality and probably outside Uganda was a little bit challenging. So we said we shall make another meeting to address that issue, and also, if possible, we share responsibility and see how we can contribute towards that. So I bring all those greetings from these brothers, and then I also say that they requested, if possible, because they also believe things are hard everywhere, and I pass this information to all to our dear brethren outside Uganda. And I told them things are hard everywhere. I don't know whether I can get funny, but by the grace of God, we shall have an opening. And I said I will still remind our dear brethren to support us. That was very important. So we said we shall meet in the second week again of this month. That is next weekend. We shall have to meet again and decide, and also decide on the venue. Let's see what we can do. So pray for us, and then also support us financially so that we can have a breakthrough. God bless you. I will email you. Do they have context of what has transpired, and see what can come out of what we shall have agreed upon. Otherwise, I can say happy Sabbath, Sabbath blessing to all of you. As we wait, you know, Trump's victory and American presidents have faced the whole world, and the everybody is eagerly waiting to see, there is fear of persecution, Christian persecution coming on. There are many things to roll over as a result of American presidency in the whole world, and more so in Africa, it's worse. Otherwise, we welcome you, we welcome all what you did, and God is, will be done. As he puts new leaders, as he raises new other people in the world. God bless you. Thank you. Elder James, I lost the tracking number I was checking the other day at my post address, and when they asked me, because I had not received any communication and anything. So kindly, I remind, send me the tracking number if you still have it.
Copy that. All right. I'll do that when after Sabbath. It'll probably be Sunday morning. Because I'm not at home at the moment with those details, but it was on Facebook, wasn't it? Did you lose the message?
No, I changed my phone. I mean, formatted it, and then unfortunately he went out when he, I don't have you on my Facebook, and then I would have texted you the other day when I was in town.
No worries. So you have, I'll send it in an email.
You send it in the email. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for your comment, sister. Interesting.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard a number of people say that last comment. Well, I mean, from America. I mean. Wow. Isn't God good? I was just thinking, you reviewed all the years that have been and what could have been and what has been. How can any of us look back and go, how God isn't good? He's good all the time.
Amen. And we shall see what this new year brings in. But we got the remaining part of this year to deal with still. Are there ones any last thoughts before we have closing prayer? Well, praise God, He's in control. Please join with me for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for hearing and answering prayers. Thank you for leading in the affairs of the various countries in this world, allowing thy perfect will to be accomplished in perfect timing. And we pray that you'll continue to pour your Spirit out, and Spirit continue to work upon hearts, leading them to the Savior and away from the world and the Prince of Darkness. Continue to let Jesus be uplifted and glorified. And thank you, we're a day closer that this whole world will be lightened with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Please help us to keep our lamps trimmed and burning bright, to be waiting and watching and working and praying. And please bless our efforts at getting the truth out, so that many more precious souls can come into the saving knowledge of truth in Jesus and escape from the wrath to come. Thank you that Babylon is being emptied and that the kingdom of righteousness is being filled more and more. And thank you most of all for allowing us to be united with you, co-laborers in this great work. Be with us as we part. Grant us a wonderful remaining Sabbath day. And those of us here, grant us a very restful night's sleep and wake us refreshed to partake of another fellowship. Thank you for being our God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good night. Good day, James and Ruth. Hugs to you all. Oh, Michelle, I will take a note of seeing you. Greetings to you, Joanne, and everybody in the family. Dick, nice day. See you tomorrow. Hugs to you all. You know, it's the time now here. Changing the timing, we can now see you. I'm only just in the house, otherwise you do see another Africa here. Very great. I wonder how God works things. We are evening for us now, very early in the morning. waking up. The sun is now up. Wonderful. God bless you all.
God bless you too, dear brother, with the spirit and truth. And dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.